But this morning we're going to continue on, and we're actually going to finish chapter 1, I promise. I know. We're going to finish it. But there's a lot in the last half of chapter 1 that I want to get into, but let's pray before we do. Holy Father, again, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your gospel. Help us to look into this doctrine that you have given us through Paul. Help us to understand it. Guide us. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds to you and what you have to say to us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So, last time, we're through faith. You know, the righteous are led by faith. The gospel is how Christ has saved us, all these great and wonderful things. And then Paul gets into this. For the wrath of God, this is fantastic. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So we've heard the wonderful news of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then he twists it and talks about the wrath of God. He takes a twist, and we went from not being ashamed to now we're talking about wrath, unrighteousness, ungodliness. How it's being revealed from heaven. How can this be? Because God is plainly known to everyone. Why would Paul go from one thing into the other? These seem two completely different things. The reason behind this is, if you talk about salvation, that means you're going to have to be saved from something. See, part of the gospel isn't just, oh, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus came because the world is a messed up, twisted, corrupt place because of sin. And God has wrath for sin. As much as we don't like to hear that, that is part of the gospel. You have to understand your state. It's like going to the doctor and realizing that you have some particular disease. Before the doctor gives you the treatment, he's probably going to tell you why he's giving you the treatment. You have this particular disease. We need to do this operation. We need to give you this medication. We need to go through this kind of treatment because of a disease. This is part of the gospel, is realizing that wrath is a part of God because he cannot abide sin. And Paul is pointing out the fact that the wrath of God is being revealed to all mankind for our unrighteousness, unfaithfulness, and ungodliness. We all have it. All of us are unrighteous. All of us have been ungodly without Christ. And Paul is going to go from example to example of the sin that separates us and why we need saving. He goes into how God has made himself manifest and known to his creation, yet in our sin we suppress the truth. Because before we have to understand the good news and why it is the very power of God to save us, we have to understand our situation and the problems that we face. Paul continues on. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. See, sin has created us to love ourselves, and so we can sometimes create a God that looks like us. or things that we know. Now, here's the thing about this passage. Most pastors will begin to look at all of creation because God says, I've made myself plainly known. You can see me in creation. You can see all these things. And a lot of pastors will go through the science and the fact that there's this unmistakable quality of divine intelligence in the creation of the universe. That without a divine intelligence, the things that are so minutely required for life to happen, if it goes 1 degree one way or 1 degree another, we all are annihilated. These are things that God has made plainly known. Most pastors will get into those scientific examples to explain that there is, in fact, a God behind it. And yes, there is. But one of the things that I want to point out is something that I pointed out during Christmas time, is the fact that humanity, since the beginning of time, has had religion. There's been all kinds of religions. And it's worldwide. Groups of people who never even met have created religions. Did you know right now, I thought there would be more, but there's an estimate of at least 10,000 religions in the world. 10,000. That we know of. All of these religions, again, I talked about this, are mankind's attempt to reach out to the divine. Why? Even within atheism, even if someone is a staunch atheist, that's a form of religion because they're trying to figure it out. Why is humanity so desperate to find out our origins? For some reason, humanity has always, since time began, constantly looked beyond ourselves. That there has to be something out there that made this. Whether it was an accident, whether gods did it, whether the God of the Bible did it, they're looking for something. People have railed against it, trying to get rid of religion. But for hundreds of thousands of years, however old the earth is, however long time has happened, however long humanity has fell from grace into sin, humanity has looked towards God in some fashion. And the reason behind that is humanity was created to worship and have relationship with the divine. We're not like the animals. We don't just go on about our business. God created us in His image, meaning we have sentient minds. He wanted connection with us. He wanted us to worship Him. He wanted us to have relationship with Him. God created us with this need to reach out to Him. We have a need for that. He created us to have a need to be a part of the supernatural. But Paul points out something that happened that went wrong with humanity because we have all sinned and walked away from God. And now, though we still have this nature and this need to worship, it's become twisted and corrupted. See, again, we want to worship something now in our sinfulness, in our selfishness, in our desires for things. We want to worship things that we like, that we enjoy hearing, that confine to our needs, our wants, and our desires. We can worship things. We can worship people. We can worship ourselves. As a matter of fact, he's an interesting gentleman, but there's a comedian called Russell Brand, and supposedly, I don't know if this is true or not, but he's converted to Christianity. I don't know how genuine his faith is. I'm not going to get into that. He's a rather interesting gentleman. But he did say something about worshiping and divinity and all these other different things, and I thought that it was very interesting. And he says, when it says in the Old Testament, worship no other gods than me, the implication I offer is that we are a species that worships. And if you do not access the divine, you will worship the mundane. You will worship the profane. You will worship your own identity. You will worship your belongings. You will worship the template laid before you by a culture that gets you distracted and relatively dumb. Corruption of sin has led us to worship things and creations rather than the Creator himself, and worship images we've made to look like us or animals or birds. One of the things that I enjoy about the Old Testament is the writers in the Old Testament, inspired by God, are very blunt about this. They talk about how futile it is that you would take a piece of wood, carve it into some image that you created, and then you bow down to it and say, "Oh, carved image, please save me." And the Bible is very clear. Those who do that are stupid. You can look it up. Certain translations say that. They're dumb. That's dumb. That's pretty stupid. But again, this is the corruption of sin. This is the deception of sin. This is why we always have to be careful, because even we as believers can justify a lot of things. Even we as believers can become idol worshipers in some form or fashion, even within the Christian community. That's why don't ever just worship your pastor. Don't ever worship figures. Don't ever worship whatever it is out there. Your only source is Jesus. And if you are not worshiping him, you're worshiping something, and that's dangerous. And again, if you worship any other thing or person other than Jesus, then eventually you will be disappointed and disillusioned, and you will lose your faith. It will happen. And so, according to Paul, because of our corruption, because of our sin, because of humanity's rejection of God, this is what God did in exchange for that. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Does that sound like the world today? Okay, I'm always careful of this, because be very, very careful reading this passage, because we're really good at going, "Oh, there, look, look what's out there, look at what they're doing." That's how we all were at one point or another, including me. We traded the truth of God for a lie. You and I. Let me remind you that this describes us at one point or another, because all of us, like sheep, have gone astray and gone our own way. We have all sinned and exchanged the truth for a comforting lie. We've all worshipped idols. We've all gone against the nature that God has created us in. Paul is continuously describing the state of mankind without the redemptive salvation of Jesus Christ. And remember, that is what you once were. And he made And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For this reason, we read things like in Romans 1, and we don't become so high and mighty. Remember who you once were. Not to be shameful, not to feel guilty, not to feel any problem, but remember what you've been saved from. And remember that we are no better than the people that we are trying to share the gospel with. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care how they speak. I don't care what's going on. We are no better than anyone out in the world. The only difference is if you're a believer, you've accepted the free gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. And that offer is there for them too. Everyone. I've said this before because it's always a big thing, and I'm so tired of hearing it. The whole transgender, the gay, the lesbian, the da 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 da. If someone in full drag walked in here and sat in this church, what would we do? Do you not think that maybe not, they've heard what they're doing is not correct? Maybe. Maybe not. One of the things that Jesus would always do with sinners is listen. He sat down with Matthew, who was a tax collector, and ate dinner with him and listened and prayed and knew exactly what that sinner needed in order to gain salvation. Because all we would see was a man in drag and we would lose our minds. Oh my gosh. I wonder if they're here to cause problems. I wonder how dare they come into the house of God dressed like that. Well, first of all, this isn't the house of God. If you're a believer, you're the house of God. And secondly, if they come here, then maybe give a chance and say, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? What do they need to hear? Because you know more than I do. And maybe it's a handshake. Maybe it's an offer to go out to coffee. Maybe it's a how's it going? Maybe, I dare say, invite them over and chat with them and see what's going on with them. Maybe they have personal problems that we don't know about. We have to have compassion and love and patience for the lost because we were once lost. Amen. Never forget that Jesus saved you from the very things that we just read about just as much as he wants to save anyone still out in the world. Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. And if we're his followers and if we are truly his church, then we should be doing the same. Nothing else matters. We can make church about all kinds of different things and kind of waste our time. That is the point of the church. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Because again, here's the state of the world. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Church, it's scriptures like these that we shouldn't look at the world and the state that is in and clutch our pearls and wonder, oh, how can this be happening? How can they promote such wickedness and evil? I'm sorry, but again, as a pastor, there's certain things I'm tired of hearing from Christians, and that's one of them. Can you believe that they're having a pride parade? Yeah, probably. Can you believe that they think it's okay to... Yes. Of course. And if you can't believe that, if you're so shocked by that, then you haven't read your Bible. And just tell me you're biblically illiterate then. Amen. I'm sorry. But if you look at the world and the corruption and the sin and the chaos and the problems and the this and the that and how can we, then you haven't read it enough. Jesus said the world is corrupt and evil. That means corrupt and evil things happen in the world. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying to tolerate it. I'm saying wake up and realize the world that we live in. Jesus did. He didn't go hide in a corner and go, oh, well, the world's too corrupt. I'm just going to be over here. Have we created such a bubble for ourselves that we've forgotten it's not all about VeggieTales and K-Love? I mean, it reminds me of this particular article I read. I may have mentioned it before, but it was a long, long time ago. It was actually during the when the Iraq War first began. I may have mentioned this. There's a young man in the army, and all the stuff happened with President Bush and the Iraq War and all these different things, and obviously they were beginning to deploy troops. War was happening, soldiers are needed. They were starting to send him out to fight, and, you know, that's what the army's there for. So they're going to go out, and they're going to fight. And the article was about this young man who had gotten his particular orders. It's time to go to Iraq or wherever it was he was supposed to go at the time. And he was very upset by his orders. He didn't like them. He didn't want to be deployed to a war zone. As a matter of fact, he was so upset by his orders. The article was about him going through the courts so that he could get out of his orders. And the reason for his argument, and this is not a joke, and I'll never forget this because I read it like twice, and he basically said, well, I shouldn't have to go to war because the only reason I joined the army was really to just pay for college. So this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. Now again, we can look at that and we can laugh and say how stupid. Of course you're in the army, it's potential for war. I mean that's what the army's for. But this is how most churches view Christianity in this country. I didn't sign up for this. Most are very shocked about how difficult it can be to be a Christian. Most Christians are very, very shocked that we have to live in a world that might not like us. We have to live in a world that is full of darkness, full of wrath, full of hatred, full of maliciousness. They'll look at it and say, well, that's not the Christianity I signed up for. They want the feel-good, fun, traditional, family-friendly, rated G Christianity. They want the Pure Flix version. Well, you need to wake up from your dream, because that Christianity does not exist. The whole point of the church, the whole point of gathering together, the whole point of reading the scriptures, the whole point of encouraging and praying with one another and purging each other on to live righteous lives and then to go into the world, is so that we are light and salt to a dying and lost world. Welcome to the war, soldier. You, therefore, must endure hardship. Hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engages in warfare, entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. This world is a struggle. This world is a war zone. If you are not ready or prepared or don't want to or feel you didn't sign up for spiritual warfare, then be ready to get your butt handed to you in this world. That's why a lot of people lose their faith. This is why Jesus specifically says, hey, you better count the cost. Because following me isn't casual. It's not like joining the gym on New Year's and then just deciding not to show up. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes you get a lot of blessings. Sometimes God gives you things that you didn't think he would ever give you, and that's fantastic and great. And he gives you favor and he gives you grace, and things seem to be working out. But sometimes, because the world is the way it is, it is hard. It is difficult. We have to be prepared to go through it in the long haul. And again, if you are shocked by the way the world is, then I hate to tell you this again, but that just shows how biblically illiterate you are. In church, the world cannot afford the believers to not know God and his word. We need to stop creating Christianity or the church in the way that we think it should be and submit ourselves to the church that Jesus himself created. And it's not always fun and pretty. It's not always programs and VBS, and it's not always happiness and fun. Sometimes it's putting up with each other when you can't stand each other for the sake to show the world love for one another, to show them that God is the one who sent us. Amen. Because the world is and has been in this corrupted state since the fall of mankind for thousands of years. And there is no amount of moralistic or political ideology or human tradition or going back to the way things are. There is no one, nothing else that can save mankind from the sin and darkness other than the God-man Jesus Christ. Do not make church or Jesus anything else. We talked about idols. If you create a Jesus that you like or that fits your ideology, then you create a false Jesus who cannot save. I've read things. This is why I'm so careful. You cannot have conservative Christianity. There's no such thing. You can't have liberal Christianity. There's no such thing. If you put a moniker before Christianity, you twist and corrupt what Christianity really is. And again, I've said this before. We as humans, in our corrupted state, even as believers, want to worship things that we like. And some things, Jesus says, for us to do that we don't like. There are certain things that I don't like. There are certain things that we want Jesus on our side, and so we will say Jesus would support this, or Jesus would vote that, or Jesus whatever. Again, you have to be careful. We as Americans are very used to democracy and voting and all these different things. Jesus is the King of Kings. It is the only dictatorship I am willing to submit to. I will bow to him and him alone. He does not debase himself in humanistic ideologies. He is the God of the universe who spoke everything into existence. Submit to him rather than us having him submit to our thoughts and our ideologies. That is the power of the church. That is where revival happens. Revival doesn't happen when the world just suddenly decides how sinful it is and wants to come to church and everything is great. Revival is God looking at the church and saying, you have gone astray and it's time for you to come back. You've created idols. You've created false gospels. It's time for you to repent and come back to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The only one who can save us from the wrath of God being revealed against all mankind and ungodliness is this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is being revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Nothing else. Let's pray. Holy Jesus, we submit to your lordship and to your kingship. We again, if there is any repentance we need to do, if we've created any idols or we created anything or we have not submitted in any particular way to your will and your ways, then we ask for forgiveness and we ask you to turn our hearts back to you. Because your word says in 2 Chronicles that we like to always quote, for if my people who are called by my name, that's us, Holy Father, help us to turn from our wicked ways and turn back to you. Help us to remember the message that you have given us. Help us to remember that you are the only one who saves. Help us to remember and not be surprised by the state of the world because of the unfortunate fall from grace and sin so rampant in it. Strengthen us as your soldiers to continue to do what you've called us to do. Help us to be a city on the hill so that all can see your light and come to salvation. Strengthen us and guide us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.